Take the scriptures and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we'll be reading this evening the entire chapter. Remember that David has just been made king over all of Israel. He has now made war with the Philistines because the Philistines were coming to attack twice, and the Philistines were defeated because the Lord was with them, with Israel. And now we come to the moving of the ark. 2 Samuel 6, this is the word of the Lord. Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with them to Baal at Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. They placed the ark of God on a new cart, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told to King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God." David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both the men and women, a cake of bread and one of dates and one of raisins to each one. And then all the people departed, each to his house. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants, maids, as one of the foolish ones, shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will celebrate before the Lord. I will be more lightly esteemed than this and will be humble in my own eyes, but with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished." Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. And that is the word of the Lord. So the ark of God in the first two verses symbolizes God's presence. We know throughout the scriptures we see that the ark underscores Yahweh's rulership as king. For the ark is described as his footstool. The ark speaks of Yahweh's reconciliation for the Day of Atonement. Blood would be sprinkled on the ark and in front of it for a sin offering. And the ark emphasizes Yahweh's revelation, for it contained the Ten Commandments. So the picture at the beginning is that in David's kingdom, the worship of Yahweh, this ruling, reconciling, revealing God must be at the heart of Israel's life. That in the wake of defeating the Jebusites and the Philistines in the last chapter, we're learning that God's people will not be, or not merely sustained by crises, by defeating others in battle like we've seen for many years now, since Israel entered the land. But God's people are sustained by seeking God's face. Crises may stimulate us to action, but they do not sustain life. And so the real question, at least for Israel in that day, was not who is against us, which is often in their minds, but it's who is amongst us. It's the Lord. All that the ark signifies, Jesus fulfills. We know He is our prophet, He's our priest, and He's our king. And so the ruling and the revealing and the reconciling of the ark, which it represents, Jesus represents, that is, He's a prophet. He reveals, He's the priest, He reconciles, and He's our king, He rules. Everything the ark points to, Jesus fulfills. And how can you keep Yahweh's presence central to your life? Here we're being told to keep our eyes on Jesus. But we see here also Yahweh's holiness as they're bringing the ark to Jerusalem. The cart was, the ark was falling off the cart, or something was happening, slipping, or whatever, the ox upset it, and Uzzah reaches out to protect it from falling, and Yahweh puts him to death. Uzzah was only trying to help, so why doesn't Yahweh cut him some slack? That's sometimes what our question is. Beloved, should we be angry at God like David was in verse 8? Or should we fear like David does in verse 9? The Lord long ago had given words to the priests about the ark, how the ark was to be transported. Basically, it was saying no touch, no look, and no cart. At least by implication, the priests were to carry it by the poles, right? And so there was not to be any carts. And any who would do these things and who would break God's commandments, they would be put to death. That was the warning. Yahweh didn't want them to die, and so He gave them the command. He loved them because He didn't want them to die, and so He gives them the command. Well, here they didn't listen to the command. They didn't obey the command. Here the Lord is the God who loves you, and yet He's the God who is holy towards you. He is not the warm, fuzzy friend in the sky. We are not to trifle with Him. Don't forget who He is. He's the holy God, but He's also the holy God of love. And as they travel up to Jerusalem, we see much celebration and joy. We see David dancing, all appropriate means of celebration. After all, the Lord's presence is coming to Jerusalem. The ark is coming to the city of David to be the center of worship for all of Israel. And many will take David's dancing as a case that dancing should be done in public worship. But this is not an occasion of public worship. They're bringing up the ark. This day is not set apart. It was just private life, everyday life, that he was doing this. And so that argument for dancing in public worship falls flat. What we are to see rather here is that Yahweh's true intent is to bless and not to destroy His people via the ark. The people got the message after Uzzah died. Verse 13 indicates that they're actually carrying the ark in the correct way now. You see the balance of truth in this chapter. Oftentimes we like to focus only on the love of God, or only on the holiness of God, or the joy that is in the Lord. And here we see the balance. In verses 12 through 23, the end of the chapter, you are to cheer with Yahweh's joy. There, in verses 3 through 11, you are to tremble before Yahweh's holiness. And so a fearful sense of God's holiness does not suppress joy. It does not suppress joy. We are to be reverent. You see the irreverence here, but in this chapter. But we are to be reverent when we come before the Lord in worship. We're to be reverent before the Lord in all cases, not just inside and not just in worship, but outside of worship. So we're not to take the Lord's name in vain and all these things. But we're also to recognize the love of God and the joy that there is in God. So there's no suppression of our joy. There's no suppression of our love for Him. But rather here, just like Psalm 2 says, we are called to rejoice with trembling. There's a both and. There's a both and the holiness and love of God. There's also a both and in how we respond to His holiness. There's a trembling, but there's also a rejoicing. And so remember that now as we continue in our worship. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Your servant, David. We thank You that You were working through him to make the center of life in Israel to be the worship of the Lord, You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank You that that's what we are called to even this day as we come on the Lord's Day to worship You, that the center of our lives has to be the Lord's Day. The focus of the fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. That there are 6 days in which we work, but one day which we rest in You. And we rest from those employments. Our Father, You have shown us that we are to have this day sanctified. It's more important. It's greater. It's more holy than all other days. And it is the day of great rejoicing because it's this day that we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ rising from the dead. And we thank You that in Him we rise with Him. As we're united to Him, we have the promise that our bodies, even though we do die and they go into the grave, that they will be raised up on the last day. Father, we praise You that You are the God not only who loves us so much that You give us the commandments, that we would not come under this great judgment of eternal death, but that You give us the commandments because You love us. And because You're holy. And Father, we pray that we would be a people who rejoice in Your word. And that we would be a people who rejoice with trembling when we come before worship. But we also, when we're out in the world, and we're out in our own homes, that we would remember Your commands. That we would not sin against You. Lest we too be like Uzzah, who died immediately from sinning against You. We thank You for Jesus Christ, and in Him we do not die, but we have eternal life. And Father, we pray that You would watch over us and care for us. Again, provide elders and deacons for us. That You would be glorified, and that the elders would be able to focus on the Word and sacraments, the Word and prayer, and that the deacons would be able to focus on serving the elders, serving this congregation, and not only physical means, but we see that their character has to be spiritual character and a godly character, that they can minister to the people in their homes, just as they serve them and serve them here. Now, Father, we ask that You would provide more people for this congregation. Lord, that You would raise up and bring here visitors, that they would believe and be saved, and that people would come and hear Your word preached and prayed and sung and seen in the sacraments and partake in that. Father, we long that more people would hear the gospel. We thank You that You give us the gospel here, but that we ask that more would hear it, that more would be saved and sanctified for Your own glory. Father, we ask that You would be glorified in all that we do. That all of our worship would be pleasing in Your sight because of Christ. And that You would protect us from ourselves, from our sin, and from evil that is not only within us, but that remaining evil, but the evil that is within the world. And that will remain there until You destroy it. Father, save us and sanctify our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name.